Move along then to item 12, William R. Davenport III, request to license and locate a pound net near Dividing Creek.
I was going to get some help there for a second. I guess this issue has brought in some comments, and I will go over those. As a matter of fact, there's some late comments, and I'll pass them out in just a second. Let me just start this, if that's okay. Okay. Look at that for a second.
Is this the
one page?
This is one page.
Now, when this proposed pound net site was advertised, it indicated that Mr. William R. Davenport III of Whitestone, Virginia, has applied to the commission to license and locate a pound net in Chesapeake Bay. The net is located approximately 2,600 feet south-southeast of number 4 Red Buoy up here. Here is the pound net proposed site, that red line, and also it was indicated it's at the entrance of Dividing Creek, which is all through here, getting fairly close to the mouth. I think it's about 3/4 of a mile from the mouth, and it's in Northumberland County, approximately 2,000 feet due east of the shoreline. Jarvis Point, for any of you familiar with that, is right here in Northumberland County. And with that, I'm going to move away from this slide for a second to provide a little background. You have had the occurrences of these requests for pound nets several times now before the commission, but what I think is important is to indicate a few things on why you are doing this, and the reason is that in a situation that occurred off the mouth of Rappahannock in the past, there was heated debate that went on for quite a while between homeowners association and a pound net fisherman. And as a result of that, it was decided that there would be a regulation, it's Regulation 25, that would help the commission to look at certain aspects of proposals for pound nets that were new or relocated. There certainly was no intention at that time to create a us and them environment, certainly not when staff or the commission at first went through that process. And I certainly don't think that that's part of what the commission thinks about when they review these pound nets, but nonetheless, it's clear that a lot of the comments that have come to you have been more of an us versus them instead of a we type of a situation. Pound nets have been here a long time. Commission staff looks at issues, and we know that they've been here a long time, first from New Jersey, and probably, I think, in memory, the first one was probably somewhere along New Point Comfort. The licensing of pound nets in the past, until recently, some actions that you took, you had to set pound nets every year and fish them, or you lost that license for the next year. You lost that priority site and everything. So there were, the commissioner in one of his presentations on this issue indicated that during World War II, there were about 2,000 pound nets throughout the bay. There may be 90 throughout the bay now. This is just to give you information. You know we have a cap of 161. Out of that 161, which this year is the first year since 1997, perhaps, that cap has been reached. That doesn't mean there will be 161 nets. What it means is there'll be forfeitures to take gray trout for a lot of those nets. And because the commission has authorized pound net fishermen to take 2 years to set and fish those nets, a lot of those nets won't be even set and fished. Someone said 1987 earlier. Well, I certainly remember that. And the pound net licenses were around close to 300, a little over 300 still at that line. They were active. That was 300 licenses. So we're looking at 90 here. But overall, these guidelines you see stemming from the public trust document from Article 11, Section 1 of the Constitution, and also in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, which has been mentioned a few times today. These are the type of guidelines that the Commission is looking at for proposed pound net sites or relocated pound net sites. And somehow I don't think this adequately is understood by the public when they are looking at a proposal. Nonetheless, it's human nature that you're going to find comments that are valid and comments that are not valid. So if you look at those six items, I want to tell you a little bit about the public comments before we go back to the pound net site. And on the first page of your evaluation, if you look at those comments, they really can be categorized as either access or navigation or use. Some type of use is anticipated that it's been changed. And really, this is not about change. If there is change, the real issue is some activity or some use precluded from having a pound net. And that can happen and that can't happen. But that's what really the commission is looking at. And staff has gone through and looked at those nine items. And in all, there were 16 comments. The 17th is today. And general opposition, although there was support for the application. And attached to your application, you have, I think it's probably close to 4 pages of signatures in support of Mr. Davenport's proposed location. So you see the opposition, if you'll call it opposition, on the first page. When you look at comments that are in favor, they certainly indicate that they're easier to navigate around than gill nets. And something you see in the letter that you have that I just gave you and in other letters is they have supplied fish for both recreational and commercial use. And some of the other comments I think just are comments that everyone is free to make because they have reactions. I mean, and that's fine. But it seems clear that this is a pound net area. So from what I've seen, there definitely have been pound nets here in the past, not 60 years ago, but into the 80s and a little bit beyond. And not just one pound net, but the last letter you have says that the families fished up to 5 pound nets in this area. So clearly, with the guidelines that you have, here is the location of the pound net. One of the things about access or navigation, what staff notice is, here's your 10-foot contour here, here's your 15-foot contour here, and here's the pound net, which is running really about 9 or 10 feet to maybe 17 or 18 feet. The attraction of this area, both in the letter that you received and from other documents, is they call it the deep hole, but it's a slough. So it has some attraction that way. But in terms of navigation, anything here is very shallow. Comments about getting out to Fleets Bay which is to the south of the entrance, and just out to the buoys. You know, you would think with the channel being here, the channel markers running that way, that that would be the egress in that direction. So you can't really imagine, at least staff hasn't, where the conflict would be for navigation unless someone's going to come down in here and want to cut, you know, just make a cut in. But there are no houses along here, and it does get very shallow right in here. One of the guidelines is, of course, SAV, and I believe this is from 2008 BIMS information, but from what I understand, there hasn't been any changes, really. So if I can go back for a second, here's the pound net structure, 1,200 feet. Here's a lease that I know is for Mr. Gaskins, Mr. Ryland Gaskins, because I asked engineering and surveying, so that's his lease right here. So if you keep that as a marker, here we are, and here's exactly where the pound net structure proposed site is. And again, I mean, you see boating traffic moving that way. It makes you wonder where the navigational problem would be. One thing that staff wondered about was there some confusion as to exact location of this pound net on the part of the public. So that's something that needs to be looked at. But again, if the pound net proposed site is right here, here's the extent of the SAV. So certainly there's no problem in that consideration. Again, here are the criteria. I know that Mr. Davenport is here. I think the idea that there would be an effect on marine and fisheries resources, which was involved with some of the public comments, you have to consider the net is almost 4,000 feet from the mouth of Dividing Creek, which really runs northwest to southeast, and the mouth itself is about 4,000 feet wide. So there's plenty of open water. It'd be very difficult to think that any type of immigration or emigration of fishes would be impacted whatsoever. And you have the petition in the background, and that's really most of the staff comments today. And I think probably if you want to have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
Any questions for Mr. O'Reilly? Mr. Davenport, do you wish to be heard? Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Mr. Davenport, let me swear in everyone here that will be testifying on this issue for or against. If you could stand, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you will give on this issue to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Davenport, go ahead.
Mr. Commissioner, Commissioners.
Could you say your name for the record?
William R. Davenport III. I realize this will probably be some opposition to this. I'm not trying to block up the whole creek. I just want to put a little small pound net out to help feed my family. I acquired 2 pound net license from Mr. Dale George last year, and I wanted to move this one up here to this location because I talked to Wason Christopher, which was one of the last ones to fish there. Said he said it was a good location. It was good bottom for a pound net. And, you know, he said he got a lot of good response from local people there. I'm sure ours will have some response. They had negative publicity against it because you could always have that in the commercial fishing side of it. But, you know, I just figured I'd take a chance, and I thought it was a good location. I've tried to keep it out of the way of most of the boating traffic. I'm sure some little boats will cut inshore, but I've got it inshore probably as far as you can possibly get for the most of the people that will travel from to and from Dividing Creek. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Just to answer any questions you've got.
Okay. Any questions? Mr. Tanker.
My question is, when you say to and from, with that map, I'm having a hard time understanding where to and from is.
Well, I guess people coming out of Dividing Creek going like towards the Rappahannock or going off to the middle of the Bay to Rockfish or just people traveling around. in their boats.
All right.
Any other questions? Thank you. Is there any, do you have anyone else to speak in favor of your proposal?
No, I brought a bunch of people that I don't want to say something. But I would just like people to stand up that are in favor that I have brought with me.
That'd be fine.
Just so that everybody's going to have a lot to say the same thing.
All right. Thank you. So noted. Any of you wish to speak at this point? Ms. Hall? Come on up. We do have your letter. We appreciate that. Were you sworn earlier?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Let us have your name, please.
Yes, Ida Hall. I just wanted to clarify a little bit of the inshore area. This chart is actually outdated. The shoreline that you
yes.
see all right in here is no longer in existence. It's all back up in here. They actually have more navigable area inshore of the proposed fish trap. But most importantly, I would just like to say that if you read my letter, as you know, I'm most familiar with this location. I got addicted to this area as a young kid and had the opportunity when I was 14 to spend time at Deep Hole Trap with my cousin, who was a pound net fisherman back in 1964. And at that time, he was fishing another pound net just inshore that we call the Rock Trap. And at other times, he fished another net down closer to Jarvis Point called Germs Hole. Not only was I just fascinated by the fishing that took place, but I think I was as greatly influenced by the respect that went on between not only the commercial watermen, which there was a large number of crabbers, oystermen, and fishermen in the area, but there was a respect between all the fishermen that no one group, no commercial or recreational group had any more right to be out there than the other. There was just, they depended on one another. My cousin Hal had many of the local fishermen frequent his trap for either bait for recreational fishing or for commercial fishing. And as I think Mr. O'Reilly mentioned, the proposed deep hole trap has been in use for many years, and I referenced in my letter this 1951 map from NOAA. It's actually hard to see the deep hole trap, but there are several pound nets that shows the rockfish trap, deep hole, and another trap down on Bluff Point. So this has been a commercial pound net fishing area for many years, and if you want to see this, I'll pass it around. Okay. And it's hard to see. Okay. And at the same time, there has always been a recreational area that has existed just offshore of the deep hole trap. That the fact that both commercial and recreational fishing existed, coexisted, is it's just history. It's nothing new. And I was proud to be a part of that. And there was an incredible amount of boat traffic back in the 60s. And they had no trouble, to my knowledge, navigating the pound net or to and from the fishing sites. And I would just say that I know that Bill Davenport and his father, Ray, are very familiar with the area, having fished and crabbed for many years. And certainly Bill's grandfather, having had the Weingers Railway that his mother now operates, and worked on many recreational boats. These are people that respect both the commercial fishery and the recreational fishery, and I just I support this because I think they will add so much to this marine community, and I hope that you will approve his request. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments in favor of the application? Seeing none, we'll hear from the opposition. Who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Yes, sir. Let us have your name for the record.
My name, Bob Reed, R-E-E-D. I'm in on Divining Creek. I have a chart I think would show a little bit more that I want to do, or show, if I could just put up real quickly.
By the way, I think we're required to keep what you're showing us for 30 days.
And, at least 30 days.
Is it at least 30 days?
Yes.
We will get the stuff back to you.
If there's an appeal note, we need to hold on to it for the record. And that might take.
Right. So, Rob, you're going to want to have to hold on to that for at least 30 days. We will eventually get it back to you. I knew Mr. Grissler.
I'll try to go quickly. We have other people that want to talk. First of all, let me say I appreciate what Mr. Davenport said and Ms. Hall. I myself and I know our other people on the creek are very respectful of the commercial fishermen. I'm in favor of watermen, and I believe that pound nets are probably the most environmentally favorable device that we have. I have many friends that are watermen. I'm a big consumer. I buy a lot of fish. I buy my bait from pound netters. But my major concern I want to take a few minutes to talk about today is safety. And I think I can, there's things that have happened. Things change for good or for worse, and hopefully for the better. It's a changing world in the Northern Neck. At this time, as of about 2 years ago, we were able to go on the Internet and find out that there are 242 boathouses and piers, boat piers and boathouses on the creek. And there's actually more than one creek that we're talking about. There's several small creeks that run into Dividing Creek. More development is planned, good or bad. I mean, I really don't want to see it myself because I'm a fisherman. I'm a recreational fisherman and a charter boat fisherman. We're changing from a primarily farming and commercial fishing community to what I would say is more of a retirement community. And hopefully we will always have our commercial fishing and always have our agriculture. But it's changing. Commerce on Dividing Creek, virtually there's no commerce. There's some commercial crabbing and some gill netting operating out of the creek. There's a lot of these people, including myself, but most of these 242 boat piers and boat houses are owned by people that just bought a boat. I've gotten into the business now in the last 3 or 4 years where I drive other people's boats and they pay me, because they don't know how to drive a boat very well. And that's the problem. They're brand new to boating. There's no fuel on the creek. And a lot of these folks are moving to Northumberland County and Lancaster County to enjoy the water and to enjoy boating. The issue is the location of the net. And I made up a chart which is basically the same, but it's going to show you more of where these people are coming from. The southern entrance to the creek, directly in the main usage channel. So what happened? I know Mr. Riley had a problem. With why is there a problem? And I'm sure Mr. Davenport has a problem with, you know, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that, let me just show you on the chart real quickly. Can you hear me okay, Dan?
Yeah, I'm just picking up.
Hey, Bob. Let's come over. I'll hold it up for you.
All right.
The way you're on the record.
Okay. Let me just point to the green area is land. This is the creek and the tributaries. This is the net, same as shown on the chart. The issue is when the boaters in these 17 to 25, 28-foot boats come out, we don't need to go out into 32 feet of water. We come out to go down to get fuel at Indian Creek to this slough, the 7-foot and the... it's actually 14-foot slough, and come down here into Indian Creek to get our gas and diesel fuel. Okay? And we're going to go right through this net, which is not a problem. I mean, I've had watermen approach me. Well, I never ran into a pound net, of course. And they could see. They know where the net is day and night. But we're talking about people that have... are not familiar with the water. They come down the weekend, they got fog, they go out earlier, they come back late in the evening, they're going to run into the net. We've had tragedies in the Great Wicomico River with people running into the net on the south side of the Great Wicomico, which is very dangerous. And that's my whole point. It's going to be the people coming out of the creek, coming down into that 7 to 14-foot slough. They don't need 30 feet of water. And, I mean, I fish there a lot, and right there in that oyster grounds. Rollins oyster beds is good fishing, bottom fishing. People come out, and they're going to come right down along that slough and into that net during low visibility conditions. During the daytime, no problem. You have a fog move in, these folks are going to run into the net. It's a safety hazard for people in the creek. A large number of new boaters. Many of these people are elderly, like myself. We have many visitors that come by boat into our creek, are not familiar with the waters. And many weekend residents that come down. In summary, as a charter boater, safety is always my primary concern. I give a safety talk before we leave the dock. I tell the people the main thing we're going to do is have a good time and leave safely and come back safely. Catching fish is incidental. The proposed location of this trap poses a major safety problem for the residents of this creek, especially during low visibility conditions. I appreciate the having this hearing, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Any questions? Mr. Robbins?
Just a couple. Can you give us a sense of how much boating traffic there is out of the creek on a weekend, for example?
Well, on holiday weekend, for example, well, any weekend, once we get into May and the rockfish season starts in this area, there's a lot. I mean, probably, I'd say, you know, it could be over 100 boats coming in and out of there on any given day.
And just to follow up, I mean, if you come out of the mouth of the creek, let's say you're a green 7A buoy, and you come southeast from there, let's say you transect right between the right in the middle of the pound net run into the southeast. It looks to me like, but once you get south of there, it shoals up to 3 feet on that chart. Is that accurate? In other words, if you're coming out of the creek and you run to the southeast and go right through the middle of the pound net, it looks like there's a 3-foot contour on that line. Is that
well?
Does it show up right there?
On that chart is there's a Fleets Bay marker is right below that. In other words, you'd come out.
You'd come out from number from 7A by number four here, and or inside of that, and right down this slough. Here, you're not going to come into this shoal. I mean, because there's a marker here, a danger. It's a danger marker. So you come right down here and into Painting Creek.
See if this gives you any.
Thank you.
You have a problem with being excused?
Boats up here, coming down, right through this area. You know, they don't have to go out here to number three. There's no reason to go out to this 25 feet of water. They come right down through here, along this channel.
I'm confused. I don't see 22 or 25 feet of water. I see 16 feet.
All right. If I can get this.
Here's the proposed site, by the way, right here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about out, there's a channel marker out here, number three. Here we go. Where you have 20, 22 feet, and then 15.7 feet. There's no reason for a small boat to come out to number three. If you're going down south to Rappahannock River or to pick up fuel, you're going to come right through that pound net, right along this channel. Yes, sir.
Mr. Palmer?
I've got a question. From the furthest end of that pound net to that channel marker, how far is that?
From where the channel marker is?
Where the channel marker is, the furthest end of that pound net, the deepest end, where that pound net place is going to be. See where the arrow is? That's where the pound net place is going to be. From there to that channel marker, what's the distance?
5,000.
We have that marked
on the other map.
Yes. On the other map, right?
I wanted to get this for detail. It is on the other map.
You had that. There it is.
The number four.
2,100 feet.
Okay.
2,100 feet.
Less than a half mile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Reed. Other comments from the public? Yes, sir. You're going to have to come up here. I can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
You're going to have to come to the microphone.
My name is James Combs. I'd just like to know if this chart is accurate or not accurate. You have some people saying that's an old version.
The placement
some people
of the
saying
pound
it's a new
net.
Version. Is, can the staff confirm, is it correct?
The shoreline has changed from that map. The placement of the pound net on that map at the appropriate latitudes and longitudes is exactly correct. It's been done by our engineers and surveyors here in the agency. Yeah, I know some of that shoreline along there has definitely changed. Thank you. Let us have your name.
Rick Lockhart, also from Dividing Creek. I'm not here to play the we-us game, but I am very, very knowledgeable of the area. I've lived on Dividing Creek. My parents own most of the northern end of Dividing Creek. And what Bob has said can be somewhat confusing, but I think pretty much he's hit the nail on the head with regard to safety. Okay? The map that or the chart that Mr. O'Reilly brought up there that showed it a little bit larger, if you could see that, you could see the natural contour of the creek, the way the creek actually runs, the way the boats actually come out of the creek. Now, 5 miles up from us is the Great Wicomico River. And the Great Wicomico River, Dividing Creek, the Rappahannock, the Potomac, they all run from northwest to southeast. The natural flow is from northwest to southeast. Years ago, in between the Potomac, Little River Inlet, and the mouth of the Great Wicomico, the vast majority of the pound nets that we have in the Chesapeake Bay are located right in that area. Okay, that creates no problem coming out of the Great Wicomico because of the way you come out and you swing around. It is on the southern end of all of those that there's a problem because of the way the creeks run. Okay, now, I take exception to a little bit of what Mr. Travelstead said with regard to this right here, this far end, the pound end of the net. It's about 20 feet of water there. Okay? And this, to answer the question with regard of coming out here like this, there really is an easy channel there. I don't care what this says as far as contours are concerned. I drew for Mr. Travelstead when we first started talking about this a path, I don't know exactly where that is, of how you come out on your way to Indian Creek. The farther south you go, the farther out you come. I asked Mr. Travelstead if he would see how far away from here you can go. Because the farther out you come, the farther out you are traversing from not only the land, but from the pound of that net. It's much safer if you can move the net farther south. Nobody argues the reasons for having a net. It's a great place to fish. We fish there all the time. We don't want to try and come down here and discourage you from allowing Mr. Davenport to put in a net. Mr. Davenport has the right to put in a net. He's got 2 permits. He can put that there. All we're asking is that, or all I'm asking, and when I was talking to Mr. Travelstead, was move it as far south as you can. Take the time to look at it. Mr. O'Reilly hasn't been up to see our creek. You know, and not to counter Mrs. Hall, but my family's lived there. I don't know how far it goes back, to be honest with you. Like I said, at one time, my father's family owned all of the north and east side, northeast side of Dividing Creek. In 1967, when the commission was founded, there were 2 boats. Boo Hudnall owned a 36-foot dead rise, and my father had a 16-foot MFG. Those were the only 2 boats on that end of Dividing Creek. Today, there are somewhere between 50 and 75. Okay? There's so many boats, and my end of the creek has been deemed a no-wake creek. Only 2 in all of Northumberland County. Mr. Reed indicated that on any given weekend, I'm not going to tell you that I know how many boats come out of that mouth of the creek. What I am concerned with regard to safety, 2 years ago in the Chesapeake Bay magazine, Dividing Creek was written up as one of the best anchorages on the west side of the Chesapeake Bay. It was written up because we have deep water, we have sheltered water, and they said we had non-impeded entrance into the creek. If a sailboat is trying to get in out of a squall, I know you've been there. First year, just to go back to what I alluded to earlier with regard to the south end of all of these bodies of water, when they put the very first pound net at the mouth of the Great Wicomico River, I was working as a mate on Jim Dibler's charter boat. We pulled 3 boats out of that pound net the first year.
never pulled a boat out on the north side. On the south side is where you're going to have problems. Okay? And I'm just telling you that it's going to happen. I've been living down here. I think I was 1958 is the first year I've come down. Mrs. Hall talked about a pound net. Don't know what the relationship is, but the pound net was in here. Mr. Davenport said, talked about Wace and Christopher. Wace and Christopher's net was way, way up here. Okay? To my knowledge, there's never been a pound net that was close to that channel in all of the years that I've been living down there. And I've been living full-time down there for the last 16 years, and there's never been a net there in the last 25 years. So it's not a, we have the right to put a net there.
Okay? Thank you.
But if you would think about moving it farther south. Okay?
Thank you. How many more do we have to speak on this issue? One, two, three. All right, come forward, sir. Just make your comments as brief as you can in the interest of time. We'd appreciate it. Let us have your name again.
My name is James Combs. I want to point out on the map that there's not one creek flowing out to the location of the pound net. There are three creeks, Jarvis, Prentice, and Dividing. Mr. Reed was correct about a lot of traffic. There's lots and lots of traffic. I live in Jarvis Creek. I fish a lot, a whole lot, two or three times a day. Not every day, but believe me, my wife will tell you, too many days. Where the proposed net is, or pound net is going to be placed, is a safety hazard for me. The only place I have to get fuel is Indian Creek. I do not have a large boat. I have a smaller boat, 22-foot boat. So I will go through that slough, and I drive my boat wide open most of the time. There's no markers on the pound net. There's no lights. There's no reflectors. There's no reflector tape. There's nothing. And anybody that comes out there early in the morning or late in the evening, they're not going to see that pound net. And there's going to be somebody injured seriously. I ask you to please move it further to the south. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your brevity. Yes, sir. And then you're next, sir.
My name is John Tallner, and I live on Prentice Creek. I am giving you comments from a comier. I moved here in 2004, spent a lot of my life on the water, and enjoyed it. And I will tell you offhand, I have a lot of respect and admiration for watermen. And I think they certainly have a right to do what they do. I, too, buy bait from pound netters. But at the same time, I am concerned, and I speak from, the standpoint of safety, and I'll echo comments of my neighbors to the north in Dividing Creek and my neighbor to the south, is the biggest thing when I heard about this was the concern with safety. And I see a number of boats go by my house, both on weekends, holidays, and regular days, coming out of Prentice Creek, which is up by Green Number 1. And some of these boats are actually very high-powered. I have two boats. I have one 20-foot boat and a 30-foot boat. One has radar. One does not have radar. When I'm out and the weather comes in, sometimes it's very difficult to see these things. I know that area. I do fish in that area. And one of my concerns is people, again, that don't have the knowledge of boating, and they buy these high-powered boats and they go shooting through here. Right or wrong, that is a potential problem. My other concern is, again, with weather-related issues if people are coming in. A number of sailboats and power boats both gunk hole behind our home on Prentice Creek, and my only concern is the positioning of the net, and I wish the commission would reconsider that. Again, I think watermen certainly have a right to have pound nets. I appreciate watching that, but I think it's more the positioning than anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this the final comment?
My name is John R. Smith, resident of Dividing Creek, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak regarding this issue today. This is a very, personally for me, it's a very
difficult position to be in, because I happen to know people personally and have respect for people on both sides of this issue. However, I can't in good conscience support the location that the applicant has chosen for this pound net because of potential negative impacts on navigation and I believe a fisheries impact as well. There's been a number of comments made regarding the contours and the path of travel through that area. Of course, with the gas prices being what they are now, our closest source of fuel is in Indian Creek, which is to the south. And I know that after learning this water and observing the charts, that I actually head right through these oyster grounds that are noted. If I don't see those stakes for those oyster grounds when I'm heading south out of that creek to get fuel, I know that I'm off course. Any boat with a 5 foot or less draft can easily navigate through that area and will take the shortest route, whether it's to obtain fuel, return from getting fuel, or seek shelter from an imminent storm condition. Confusion or lack of understanding of the fisheries issue, maybe I can clarify that by saying that if you expanded this net, this map, it would clearly show that the Atlantic Ocean and Lower Chesapeake Bay is to the south. And that is the source of the fish that migrate in and out of Dividing Creek. So hopefully that would clarify that issue. And that's why it's probably a real good place for a fish net, because that is the path the fish are going to take that migrate naturally, seasonally, in and out of the creek. Regarding the navigational concerns, obviously anyone who regularly traverses that area is going to recognize and hopefully remember that net's there. But as many people have commented, this area is heavily traveled by people who are either weekenders or people who may have noted this as being a safe harbor. And as an example, I'd like to read just in this book here, which is Ubiquitous Guide, this Guide Cruising Chesapeake Bay, which is often referred to by many of the boaters traveling the bay. The very first creek listed in this geographical section of the Chesapeake Bay is Dividing Creek. And the very first statement under that heading of Dividing Creek is, when NOAA is predicting that late afternoon triple threat, thunderstorms, quote, thunderstorms, strong gusty winds, and possible hail, Dividing Creek can be a welcome sight. Now, that should give you some indication of what some transient boater will be reading as they are transiting the Chesapeake Bay, the open waters, and need to get quick access to shelter. I personally know of someone who actually was killed in an accident hitting one of those day markers. And, of course, the day marker's on a pole about this big around. And I think the pound net, I believe it's was 1,200 feet in length. So again,
I feel like the additional economic gain for one individual just can't outweigh the overall potential negative impacts on many people. And I stand here today before you as a partner in the stewardship of Virginia's natural resources and saltwater fisheries habitat, and I ask that you carefully consider the public interest in deciding on the outcome of this application.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. Stagg, as chief engineer, your map is being brought into some question. Could you comment on the accuracy of the location?
The location, that's from the description that was in the application, all these locations are accurate. The shoreline may not be exactly where it is now on the chart because it's not a brand new chart. These distances are accurate to the existing structures that are out there. Depth here, I believe Mr. O'Reilly indicated the depth at the end was about 18 to 19 feet.
I can tell you I referred to other charts to determine what those contours are on that map. And the contour that where the color is blue versus white is the 12-foot contour. The one inshore of that is 6 feet, and the one offshore of the 12-foot is 18 feet. So the net appears to be located in slightly deeper than 12 feet of water.
This number is actually 16 right here.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a deeper hole right there in that slough that's right. 16 feet. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So northwest of that net in the yellow, which is the oyster ground that we talked about, the contour there is what? What's the depth there in that lease? To the northwest, that one, yeah, to the right. Up.
Probably about 5 feet out to this corner here.
12 feet.
12 to 16
feet. Yeah, no, to your right of your...
Out here.
Yes, that whole zone there.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably anywhere from 15 to up to almost 20 feet out.
Okay. And then to that right there where your arrow is now, what's that?
Exact number, so you just have to kind of guess an interpolation there, but I would guess it's 10 to 12 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's between the 6 and the 12-foot contours.
Okay. This ground could be staked, so it could be staked on this ground.
Is Officer Franklin here? Would you come forward, please? Do you have anything that you want to add to the information that we have? I know you're familiar with this area. And have I sworn you in yet?
Yes, sir.
You solemnly swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So if you got
it. Yes, sir, I do. Maybe any additions that I can add. I did go out there and get the exact coordinates of all the navigational aids, and I put them on this chart. In reference to where the pound net is going and the distance from it in the navigational area. As far as any other pound nets, I do have pound nets up in the Hewlett Point area, right, which would be north of the entrance to Dividing Creek. I do have several up in that area. And above that, I probably have about 50 pound nets between there and Smith Point. It would be a little Wicomico River where the Maryland line starts in that area. I brought charts with me, and I know there's a slough there. Of course, you can't put the pound net in 2 and 3 foot of water. He needs to put it in a little bit deeper water if he's going to, you know, set a net and set a pound and hedge it in there. So, actually, where he picked it is a favorable location to put a pound net. As far as the navigational area goes in there, it is south of the channel by about a half a mile. If you run navigational aids in and out of there, the pound net is not a problem to run in and out. I would not take my boat and run down there. Preference, you know, myself anyway. If you have any questions about the pound nets and how many I got out there and that, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you've got about that.
Thank you. Mr. Palmer?
People gillnet south of the channel?
The gillnets don't have a fixed location.
But
they have,
But do they gill net there?
I see gill nets. I do see gill nets out in the bay, and I see them up into Anapoison Creek quite a
and
bit.
And how about between Dividing Creek and that area? Did they crab pot in there?
Crab pots were out there this week. I went in there, and actually I made some crabbers move some pots because they had put them in the navigable channels when I came in there to check this location. I did have one crabber that was working that
okay,
day.
But you said we do have other fisheries that are in there that
yes,
they consider impediments to navigation.
Yes, sir. You have staked oyster grounds all the way into Dividing Creek area.
Thank you very much, officer.
Mr. Tanker? I have one question, Mr. Franklin. Are you familiar with this area by boat?
Yes, sir.
So if you get an east wind, northeast, southeast kind of wind, and you get an outgoing tide, outgoing push on the water out of Dividing Creek, what's it get like? Does that get rough?
It's not as rough down there as I have up around Smith Point. When I get up around the Potomac, the mouth of the Potomac, the weather really gets crappy on you when the wind is blowing. It's not quite as bad for us down there. However, when you do break Windmill Point coming out of the Rappahannock, you usually hit a different wind, and the seas get a little bit rougher.
So I guess what I'm implying in my question is there some... Do people seek shelter in that shallow water? You know how a small boat will shoot for shallow water to get away from the tide and the wind blowing on deeper water?
I really can't answer that. I have answered a call down there one night to check on a sailboater that had moored out there during the night. I believe he was more up around Tabs Creek entrance and just a check on him, but I can't answer that.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Officer. Mr. Davenport, do you wish to respond to anything you've heard? All right, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Schick?
As a marina owner that primarily has recreational boats, and I also teach boating safety, I'm a Virginia-certified boat safety instructor, we tell people that the federal government goes to very great lengths to put these markers out there, and they should be used. Local knowledge is not the way to travel the waterway. Just as easily as you could hit, you know, pound nets, you could hit gill nets, you could hit crab pots, you could also hit the staked oyster grounds. That's why the channel is where it is. And I understand why people cut these markers, because they want to save time. I see it all the time. About five times a year, we go out there and get a boat off the bar right out front of the marina because they cut the channel. It's, oh, I've been cutting the channel for 3 years. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done it. And those six things up there are very clear. And, you know, you can use small craft like kayaks and canoes close to the shoreline. It's not in the navigable channel. There's other fisheries going on there that it doesn't conflict with. There's no SAVs. There's no wetlands. I see no reason not to approve this, and I'd like to make a motion to approve this net.
We have a motion to approve the application. Is there a second?
I'll second, sir.
Second about
Mr. With a comment, if I might.
Homer, yes, sir.
I live in Virginia Beach off Long Creek, which is probably one of the busiest places in Virginia, especially on a weekend. People do travel down to us to go fish the bridge tunnel during rockfish season in order to run out and fish around the point, around Rudy and all for rock. This year was a circus down there with the tuna just off Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, Charlie Gregory and Dirk Sanford came here and petitioned the commission to put two pound nets right outside of Lynn Haven Inlet. And the arguments were the same. And quite a few more people here in protest. Like, they got permission to put their two nets there, and to the best of my knowledge, and I see these nets all the time, only one boat has run into them in 2 years, and that was the Coast Guard. Everybody else has enough sense to drive around them. If you live there, you're going to know that net is there. You know, it's no big deal. You know that net is there, just like you know a sandbar and oyster bar is there, or there's a sunk a piece of debris someplace. So I'm going to second the motion because there's no reason for that net not to be approved. The man is doing everything that he's supposed to do.
Other comments on the motion, Mr. Tankard?
I understand. I certainly respect what the other commissioners have said. I've been caught in a pound net, so I'm like that Coast Guard, you know. And I can tell you, jumping overboard to get your boat out in the middle of the night, like just oftentimes when you get caught up in these things with a knife in your hand and a 3-foot sea, it's not a real pleasant experience. And it was me trying to take shortcut. But you know, shortcuts get taken for lots of reasons, and they get taken for maybe I need to get fuel when I run out. Didn't realize it. Maybe I've got a storm and I need to get back in quickly. So I'm not going to vote against this, I don't think, but I do worry about the public safety. And if there are other commissioners who have the same sentiment, I hope you will indulge me with some conversation on it. But I remember the Sanford net, and it is close to the inlet, and it's very similar to this. So I'm going to support it, but I think there can be a public safety issue.
Thank you. Other comments? Rick?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I would echo Mr. Tankard's concerns about safety, just recognizing that while this is outside of a marked channel, it appears that current practice is that there is significant use of that area. So, I think I'll support the motion, but we just reiterate those concerns. I mean, this structure is not lighted. It is in a bit of a thoroughfare. So, that's a concern that I'm sure will be hopefully of importance to the local community, and hopefully you can get the word out about the location of the net.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, you're ready to vote?
Sir.
All those in favor of the motion to approve the application, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.